I thought I was going to do that transition better.
It's all right. That was nice. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah, it kind of blew that.
Hey, it's all good.
Yeah, when I put the other board in, well, I actually have stereo sound instead of just mono. You know? I don't really think it matters.
Man, some of that mono is kind of nice once in a while. Listen to Pandora, and it's like I get... this one station, it's the Black Keys station, and they're kind of new, bluesy kind of mix, but they play a lot of Led Zeppelin on there, because the Led Zeppelin Pandora plays all cretins. Believe that. Stupid.
Plays all what?
Cretins. CCR.
Oh, yeah. Cretins.
Cretins?
Cretins.
Okay.
Cretins Clearwater Revival.
Okay. Plays all of that.
CCR.
I hear... one Led Zeppelin song, five CCR songs on the Led Zeppelin Pandora station. So I do the Black Keys, and it's about every fifth song, but it's a mixture. And every now and then there's a couple of those old Zeppelin songs where they would do that mono where they would switch from speaker to speaker.
Right.
It doesn't do it very well on the new stereo system, so it just... nothing. 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 It doesn't want to alternate it as well, so it kind of makes me go back to when I had the album and then the cassette and all that stuff. So it's like, okay, that's cool.
We'll see. I'm sold. I remember quadraphonic sound.
Okay.
That was not stereo twice. They would come out with albums. You would hear the drum roll, like in the left back speaker, left right speaker, front right speaker, back left right speaker.
Nice.
You could hear them go all the way around you, and. Not much was recorded in quadraphonic sound. One of the bands had an album, Quadro something or another, but it was popular for a very short time. But that was right at kind of the peak of the stereo before the cassettes started coming in and all that kind of stuff.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I remember I actually had one in my car, the 8-track quadraphonic sound thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so much for a fishing show.
Right. Hey, it's good stuff.
Yeah, well, my problem is you know all this stuff. You tell the difference in our ages, because for me, the channel is push the button here, okay, push the button there. No, I don't like that one. Push the button there. No, go to search.
Yeah.
On my AM or FM radio.
Yes.
That's as far down as I get it. Because nobody plays the stuff I like anyway.
Right.
I mean, you know, Kenny Rogers in the first edition, Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Kinks, you know, stuff like that. I can never hear any of that stuff anyway, so I don't care what satellite channel I get. They play all the, what they think was cool music back then.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, into the fishing part of this. Peace River Systems.
It's flowing like a really good one.
I'm going to say just don't even bother.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
What did you say yesterday? 6,000 feet a second or something like that?
Water flow. Let's see if this computer worked this much. Fishandfranks.com. Waiting. Yeah, I don't know if it's my internet connection or what, or my computer. I know my computer's getting really, really bad.
Right.
I fried the website program.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, well, it was 6,000 something feet per second yesterday when you looked it up. And the regular normal for this time of year is 13.
Yeah, it was 1,300.
So, we're almost
4.5 times. I think it's up 14 feet today, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
So, this is the point where you start getting water in the houses in Arcadia.
Yeah. Because 11 foot is is peak right at flood stage. Gets over 11 feet, it starts cresting the river.
It's 13 three quarter feet, basically.
Okay.
And rising. It's not coming down.
Yeah.
and 11 foot flood, so it's about almost a half a foot below 14 foot in Arcadia, and at 14 is when you start getting water in bad places.
Lapping at the front door.
Yeah, so 6,640 cubic feet a second. 1939, 8,350.
Wow.
Average for this time of year is 1,900. So we're three times the average.
It's pretty impressive. So yeah, that makes it a little
slowest
tougher.
Time, I don't know what year it was, there was 148 cubic feet per second.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what year it was. Oh, 2006.
Okay.
Was the 2006, we had the least amount of water. I think that was the two-year drought we had.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was the two-year drought. That's what brought all the seagrass back to the harbor, brought back the flounder, the sawfish, and all that two-year drought, because it was 148 cubic feet per second in 2006.
That's pretty wild and amazing.
So,
amazing what a little drought will do. Yeah, there's good and bad
and
with all of it.
Drought seasons, I think they all have to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, because if you have just average rainfall all the time, I think you get too much weird stuff built up.
Yeah, it kind of becomes stagnant in its own weird way.
And it's just like, I know I've been trying to find a site that will tell me how much sea level rise has happened in the last... The only thing I can find is in the last, say, 200 years, it's come up 7 3/4 inches in the last 200 years.
Yeah.
That's the... And I can't really remember if it was 200 or 300 years, but I think it was in the last 200 years that it's come up 7 3/4 inches.
Wow.
That's all I can find. But yet we've seen pictures of old photographs of people standing on something, you know, where you could see these rocks, and then the rocks are underwater now. So, I don't know if the government's hiding it, or the Econauts are right or wrong. I really don't know. You know, that's the part that scares me, is that these Econauts could actually be onto something. The problem with it is, though, they don't take anything in account that, okay, the waters, the ice are melting here, but Antarctica's building snowpack like crazy down there.
Right.
A few years ago, a lot of the ice broke off Antarctica, but over the last few years, it's added more than that in snowpack and other stuff.
Right. Yeah, they're actually talking about it this morning on the Today Show with the amount of Arctic ice that has melted this year because of the unseasonably warm summer they've had up there. And I forget how many millions of tons or gallons or whatever it was. He was the guy on the Today Show, the weatherman that's sharp.
Al Roker?
Yes, there you go. He was talking about it. It was pretty neat.
You know, that's just been the case, but it was just a few years ago they went through the coldest winters they've ever experienced.
Right. Right.
The coldest winters on record for 2 years in a row, and then all of a sudden got really warm again. Now, that's true climate change, when it gets really, really cold and really, really warm and really, really cold, you know?
Yeah, that's instant.
Okay, guys, I'll get your climate change there. All right. Harbor Heights.
Harbor Heights, there's actually been a few tarpon up there, just right around the, what's the bay called right there where the boat ramp is at?
Whidden Bay.
Whidden Bay down to just below your place where the manatee sign is at. There's been a couple guys seeing a handful of tarpon cruising through there, and one guy hooked two on jerk baits. And he was mostly looking for snook and redfish along the docks because he lives up there by you and just plays around out there, but he saw the tarpon, so he threw at them. But that's the only report he gave me because he said nothing else was happening. Unfortunately, it's been pretty quiet up there. And half of it has to do with this lousy weather.
It's been weird. Remember, RJ was saying the National Weather Service said we're going to have more rains, and the rains are going to be raining for more than an extended period.
Right.
And we were like, well, I don't know, we haven't seen that yet. And boy, they hit the nail on the head. I'm going to give the National Weather Service one big Hey, guys. Got one right. Blind chicken finds kernel of corn.
Yeah. Yeah. Been pretty impressive with this rain. Everyone was talking about it. I can't wait for the sun to come out. I said, you'll be hating that sun 2 days after it pops out because it's going to be the biggest steam bath ever. It'll be back to August again. Do you remember Hurricane Charlie? No electricity and how hot it was? At least you'll have electricity right now. But
you know, it's
just
funny.
Miserable hot.
I'm thinking about buying this RV motorhome thing from a guy. And he came down to the south. He was in Louisiana with it. And it's kind of why he's going to get rid of it, because it was so miserably hot. People don't realize the further north you go, the hotter it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get those actual southern states north of I-4, every few miles you get, it actually, like, we'll be at 92, they'll be at 105.
Right.
You know, the closer to the equator you get, the more moderate things are. Yes, is it really, really hot here sometimes? Absolutely. But it's
consistent.
Even worse when you get up to Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, you know, all those, Georgia. It can get so much hotter there.
Well, when you work the oil spill, I mean, it was averaging 88 to 90 here. And when you were up there, you were calling me at 7 o'clock in the morning talking about that it was already just regular temperature. Never mind that feels like crap. It was already like 91, 93 degrees and building.
The heat index at 5 a.m. when I was working at the oil spill was 105 degrees at 5 in the morning.
Yeah. It's like, geez. And they say Florida's hot.
No. That was some of the most extreme heat, because when you go out to the desert and it's 114 degrees, it's 114 degrees different. When it's 105 degree heat index in Mississippi, Alabama, and 112 in Vegas, it feels way better to be in Vegas.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
I tell people at all time, growing up in Arizona, I'm like, I'll take 110 over 95 with the humidity.
Yeah, because we were dealing with 80s and 90% humidities and 100 degree weather. And you're like, boy, you walk outside. Good thing is, I got pretty thin while I was up there.
Right?
You lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're not laying around the house in the AC, you know, eating bonbons or some freaking thing. I was working 15 hours a day.
Right.
So they don't get about these kids. They always complain. I'm thinking, I was up there working 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, when at 5 a.m. the heat index was 105.
Right.
And they complain to me they're hot. I'm like, yeah. God, the country would have never been built. You know?
Yes.
Okay, I-75.
I-75's got a bunch of juvenile tarpon in it. They've been there morning and afternoons with this overcast weather. They've been there sporadically all day. And then there's still been an occasional black drum being caught there. The last guy I talked to, he's caught two in the last week of going out there playing around, but he's been out there 5 days. So he just tries to avoid the storms, and he lives right up there by you too, so he just likes to go down there and mess around.
Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, I like being on the river, and if I get this little RV motorhome thing, the nice part about it is I've got that little Carolina skiff, that 15-foot skiff.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be able to pull that behind that little mini RV.
There you go.
Some day tripping around Florida.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, because the biggest problem is, you know, where do you get a hotel and, you know, and all the rest of that stuff. And if I can get an RV that gets 14 miles to the gallon, I don't need to get a hotel.
Right.
Just stay in the RV overnight and drive, you know, fish all day. Maybe drive back, maybe not. But if you don't feel like driving, just pull over, stop, sleep.
Perfect.
At my age, there's probably another important component to that motorhome.
Yes.
I always laugh at these guys who are in their 30s and they say, you have a bathroom here? I says, yeah, you can tell you're in your 40s, because if you were in your 60s, you'd know every bathroom for 10 miles around here, 20 miles around here. You know it. My 30s, I had no idea Publix had a bathroom.
Right.
I do now. All right, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge has got some tarpon on it at night with a couple of snook, and then there's still been a few black drum there. But that report, honestly, is 4 or 5 days old. That was the only good report I've gotten this week. It's not gangbusters by any means, but not bad.
Okay. Lashley Pier?
I got nothing there, to be honest.
Bayshore Pier?
Goose egg. Ron was in here the other day, and he said he caught one little tiny bull shark. That was it.
Port Charlotte Canal System.
Uh-huh. A lot
okay,
of those.
Okay, wait a minute. Has she tried the clams yet?
Yeah, she only tried them for a little bit the other day, but there's so much black water running down the canal this past week when she was playing with it. I think the black drum was left behind the house because she had a crab out and the clams out, and neither one of them got hit. I take that back. They both got eaten by catfish. But the leaf lettuce has been coming down. The water lettuce has been coming down.
Hyacinth?
No, the lettuce, the smaller, the...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Kind of looks like an artichoke. That's been coming down the canal for the last 3 days pretty heavy. So, I think the black drum are done for a little bit.
Okay. But what else is going on?
A lot of snook. A lot of little peanut snook and a couple bigger snook. Some jacks. A couple of ladyfish. And then there's been some juvenile tarpon over there in East Spring Lake and West Spring Lake, both. And then guys are catching a lot of the Mayan cichlids off their docks and in their crab traps. We had 8 in there last night.
Yeah.
She was excited. She's like, I'm going to put one on. I'm like, okay, I don't think they're going anywhere.
Well, that's going to be the weird thing. I'm used to seeing gar go all the way down to Cape Hayes.
Right.
You know, the Florida gar, the freshwater fish, and you can catch those because of the freshwater and saltwater not wanting to mix. You can get those all the way down. How far are the Mayans going to go down?
Well, all the way down there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm wondering, in this year and next year, if we get the rains like we are this year, are they going to be catching Mayan cichlids in turtle bag?
They already did last year.
They did last year?
Yeah, there was guys that were catching them last year. Fishing under that one, the only shack back there, and then in the back far right corner, they were back there. There's that little depression where they usually fish for redfish.
Right.
But it gets mangrove snapper in there sometimes, and these guys were fishing for mangs and redfish and kept catching small Mayan cichlids.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So it's already happened. I mean, it's just the natural evolution of it.
Yeah.
You know, that, okay, you're going to get. You know, these are salt-tolerant freshwater fish, so you can almost see the point coming where a number of years ago, when the tilapia would spawn and we'd get those big bunches of schooly little tilapia down,
Yeah.
The tarpon would go crazy on them. It was the best snook and tarpon bait you could use.
Yeah.
And then I'm wondering if that's not going to happen with these fish because there's going to be so many Mayan babies.
Oh, yeah.
These have got to turn into a great bait.
I absolutely think they will.
Because they're hitting the peak of their, okay, I don't belong here, I want to fight for my own place here, you know, move over, I'm moving in type, you know, exotic species. It would be the same as if you took a largemouth bass to a pond, what the heck was that, a pond in Australia, that bass would eat everything in sight. It would take over. It would, you know, spawn a lot. It would be like, okay, I've got to make a place in the world. You know, if it had a chance to spawn, they would literally try and push out the Barramundi or us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And people don't realize that, but in Germany, the rainbow trout have pushed out most of the German brown trout, the same way the German brown trout here pushed out a lot of the rainbows.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. People always assume, well, we brought the fish in here. Our fish wouldn't do that. Well, yes, they will.
Absolutely.
You just have to understand, you're not hearing the other country's side of it. You're only hearing the American side of it. It's like living in the biggest walled-in island in the world when you live in the U.S. You watch the Weather Channel, and, oh, yeah, this is coming into Montana. Well, it didn't hit anywhere in Canada. That's irrelevant, you know.
Right.
And the same thing. Well, the storm came through Mexico. Now it's devastating Texas. What was wrong with Mexico?
Yeah. What happened there?
It just appeared, you know, at the border.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, the largest little, well, soon to be walled-in island in the world. I think they're going, like, what, a mile a week or something like that on the wall.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, I haven't kept up. So, anyway, I guess moving on, Elgevine Pier.
Honestly, I haven't gotten anything there this week.
I think with the amount of rain and everything, I think we're going to have a lot of uh-ohs.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's
no
just...
No SpaghettiOs for you.
Well, you know, the rivers are cranking pretty hard. I think that's kind of... It always, you always have that weird window of, you know, 5 to 10 days, it seems like, where when that river really pushes through. The first one in the early summer when it pushes down gets the fish super excited, but then it stays that consistent heavier freshwater, and then all of a sudden you get that real heavy push of freshwater again on top of that. It always seems to either shut those fish down or discombobulates the fish for a few days. And I think we're right at that point of where the fish can either shut down or move just temporarily while that massive flow came down, and regrouping and reevaluating.
Yeah, well,
because that's the way it's kind of been on this Inner Harbor. You know, August is always that weird month because we know it's going to be usually, in most instances, be its maximum rainfall, sheet flow, all those combinations have already, you know, all the rain already pushed down.
That's what you hope for every year.
Yes.
And the reason I say that we hope for these high water in the rivers and all that is Charlotte Harbor is such an enclosed system. We have Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva, Boca, Gasparilla passes, but they're pretty small passes for all this water to go in and out of. And so it's the reason no motor zones don't work in Charlotte Harbor. And all the eco nuts say, oh, we've got to get the outboard motors off the flats. And I'm like, well, that's because you're an eco nut. You've never actually done anything. You know, you're stupid. You have book learning, but you don't look at what's in front of your face. I always ask people, you know, when they tell me, oh, we want to make the no motor zone on the, this part or that part. I'm like, well, you dream of going to Ding Darling to go fishing, right? What? No. What? Why? Well, they've had a no motor zone there for 20 years, and every summer it's completely dead. There's nothing left alive. There's no fish, crabs, anything. It's a total disaster dead zone. But because the eco nuts are so dead set that it should be a no motor zone, nothing can live there all summer. All the plants are dying. It can't get out. We don't have the sheet flow of water to clear it.
Right.
You've got to have outboard engines in there at idle speed. I don't think you should be able to run, but I think you should be able to go through there with an outboard at idle speed, and that's going to thatch it. It's going to create pathways and stuff, allow water movement to go through there, not just a bunch of stagnant, dead water. Hmm. And it's different. I don't know why people can't see what's right in front of their face. You know, we have a no motor zone. It does not work. In the wintertime, it does. When the water's nice and cold and a lot of oxygen in it, fish will move up into there because there's no boat traffic. You know, there's nothing happens there. And, but if we did that in different areas in the harbor, it would be really good for about 2 years. And then it would collapse in on itself. And we would have summertime fish kills that would be unbelievable. I mean, it would make any red tide event look like sissy talk, you know. So, and the dumbest part about it is, this isn't me guessing. This is me just watching what happened 20 years, you know, the first few years, it was awesome. Everybody thought, wow, this is amazing. And then it just kills everything. There's nothing left. So... Right.
Well, and they erase history, so they don't even want to look at any of that, because, I mean, you got to remember, you know, population has gone 4, 5, 10 times, whatever it is, of boaters, houses, everything else. So we've changed all the hydrodynamics of the harbor. We've added different pollutants to the harbor that have depleted some of these different grasses that maybe it might have made a little tiny bit of sense if we still had that healthy harbor that we had 30 years ago with all the grasses everywhere.
It wasn't that healthy 30
but,
years ago.
But I'm just saying...
I was here. I saw it. There's no fish north of Pirate Harbor.
But I'm just saying, in general, you know, anytime they're looking at any environmental situation, we've made so much impact all the way around it that, you know...
And we've made so many much better impacts. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I keep... Because none of these eco-idiots were alive in the 1970s to see how many rivers used to catch fire in this country.
Right.
The pollution was so bad, the rivers caught fire. People would go by and they'd light a cigarette, throw a match over the window going across the bridge, and the river would explode into flames. That it wasn't better years ago. It was way worse.
Mm-hmm.
Way worse. And the pollution was worse. A lot of things were worse. And the U.S. has made unbelievable strides and is still doing better and better every, you know, little bit by little bit, things are getting cleaner. They're not getting worse. And that's what I hate about environmental scientists. They always want to look and daydream back to the good old days. Well, it wasn't that freaking good. I'm here to tell you, I know I was alive. I saw it, you know? So, you know, let's give three cheers for some environmental things that have actually done well in this country. Micah River area.
A lot of tarpon. Tarpon are scattered from the Eldro Bean Bridge all the way out to the mouth of the Myakka. And that's honestly the only report over there. I haven't got anything for snook or redfish or any of the other stuff.
Okay. Hang on a second. All right. After a few hour interruption, and we're back. You didn't know that because for you it's only been a couple of seconds, but for us it's been a long time.
Yes.
Okay. Micah River area.
Let's see. They've been getting tarpon from the Eldro Bean Bridge all the way down to the mouth of the Myakka. Just depends on the day. And then the nobody's really been fishing up in the cutoff or any of those other places, so that's honestly about the only report for that area. A lot of manatee food floating down from there.
Yeah. Shocking how much vegetation's coming down.
It's pretty wild.
South Gulf Cove?
Nothing. Just a few Mayan cichlids and plecos in people's crab traps.
All right. West Wall?
West Wall's not too bad. There's actually some redfish and snook, mostly on the southern part of the West Wall. And then there's been some tarpon, juvenile tarpon, on the inside in that kind of trough basically between the bar and the shoreline. And then there's been a few bigger tarpon on the outside of the barn, like that 6 foot of water. So it's been pretty good over there. There's been a lot of ladyfish and some small jacks up and down the entire shoreline too. I think that's what's bringing in those juvie and subadult tarpon into that area too. Had a customer took his kids there to catch a whole bunch of ladyfish, and they had a blast along with a couple small jacks. He said they got rained on, but the kids were happy because they caught like 30 fish, yeah. Which was perfect.
Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes. Honestly, haven't had anything this week on Cape Hayes.
Okay. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
Bull Bay's had the better reports. Lots of redfish scattered inside there. And quite a few snook, and even a few trout and a few ladyfish out in the middle, open areas. Guys are just drifting through it and working soft plastics mostly, and catching quite a variety. A couple guys have seen a couple small to moderate sized sharks swimming through there. Haven't hooked any, but all while they've been fishing for other species. Also been a lot of small fry in there, they said. Too small to cast net, but they said it's amazing how much little bait swimming all over the place in there.
Okay, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Sharks. There've been some black tips, a couple of bulls, and a couple of lemons on and around the reef. And I heard of one gag grouper that a guy caught that was 24 and a half inches, but he didn't know for sure, and he didn't think about calling us to find out, but he ended up letting it go. He didn't say if he was on Cape Hayes Reef or Danger Reef, but he said it was at the reefs down there.
Okay, Gasparilla Sound.
A lot of fish. The snook and redfish from the clam fields all the way over to Catfish Creek. And then the ladyfish and trout out on the open flats, along with an occasional 50-ish, 60-pound tarpon. Jay Withers was talking to him earlier when he was in here, and he said he's been seeing a lot of juvenile tarpon rolling around that whole basin there, all around Sandfly. He's caught a couple last week, but he didn't do too much fishing at the end of this week. So his was like Sunday, Monday for his fishing report up in that area. He said it's hard to dodge the rain.
Give me just a second. I'm going to do a spell check here. Okay. All right. I wasn't going to get concentration right the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't spell license the other day to save my butt. I ended up having to Google it. I was typing an email. And it's like, really? How dumb? No, it was notes for Josh for the article.
Right.
And I couldn't spell it. And I was like, this is just not right. Google.
Yeah. I mean, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
You sit here, words that you should be able to spell, and they're simple, they get dyslexic on you. I don't know what's
yes.
going on. And then you just draw a mental blank. It's like, I have a problem when I'm, you know, if I go to say, oh, and this is somebody I know and know very well,
and then boom,
that yeah. curtain drops and you can't draw their name out of anything. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do or what you say. You're not going to remember their name. And it will either come to you later, or I'll have to go ask somebody, what's so-and-so, you know, that guy's
yeah.
name, you know.
Yeah, and it's on the end of my tongue, but my brain's not letting me say it.
No, it's, I don't know. Like I say, you know, right now, if I get in a room, I walk in there, and I remember why I'm in that room, really good day. So, all right, Gasparilla Pass, Placida Pier, mm-hmm. the Trestle.
Oh, jeez. Snook. I've been catching some nice snook there at night, both on the Placida Trestle and on the entire railroad trestle and along the bridges there of the causeway. There's been some mangrove snapper, still a couple of Spanish mackerel, and then there's also been a couple of bonnet heads and a couple of black tips being caught out there. The black tips are fairly good size. They're running like in 4 to 5 foot range. Everyone keeps coming in, they're hooking spinner sharks because they're launching into the air and twisting and curling, but yeah, it's definitely black tips this time of year. Hot water, black tips, middle of February, could very well be a spinner. But this time of year, odds are in the favor of a black tip. But still an awesome acrobatic show nonetheless. Totally enjoyable. I haven't heard of any tarpon there, though. That's the weird part. There should be tarpon, but no reports on them.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes and goes. So at this time of year, they're going to move up, down, move around, thick for 1 week, and thin for the next.
Yeah.
Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, there's actually been some really nice snook up in there. All the docks. I don't know if it's the rain that pushed them out of some of these canals or off the beaches and into the ICW, but all the docks along the mainland shoreline, guys are catching snook off of them from their boats or from their homes.
I would say it's probably that they were spawning in the Gulf and they've moved that far, but just really haven't gone back up into the creeks and canals. I think they're just in that halfway point, and they tend to hang out there until it gets cold.
Yeah.
First cold spell we get, they're all going to push way back up in the creeks and the canals.
And I'll agree with that theory without a doubt. It's just kind of neat to all of a sudden they just got several reports from that whole area now.
How about the pier and the bridge?
Snook and juvenile tarpon there at night. Speaking of that, I'm talking to Jeff the plumber. He says hello. I saw him this morning over at Circle K. Because he lives out there, so I was asking him about the fishing in that area. He said he's just been hearing rumors, but hasn't been himself. But the tarpon, snook at night, and then some mangrove snapper, some big pinfish. A couple kids came in with pictures of, you know, 8-10-inch pinfish that they had caught off of there. I know it's not a desirable fish, but an 8 or 10-inch
pinfish are actually good eating.
Well, I know that, but you know, most of the time everyone associates a pinfish as being a little tiny 3 to 5 incher, but 8 or 10 inch pinfish are worth mentioning. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And Venice jetties?
just a few big snook at night. It's been pretty quiet up there this week. I would imagine there'll be a lot of guys up there these last couple days, though, with that really super high tide and that really strong outgoing tide with this full moon. It'd be a good time to be out there.
All right. Anything in the Gulf of Mexico?
Nothing. Nothing worth mentioning. I got two people that have gone, and it's too inconsistent for me to speculate. And if I count what Chuck did last night, they did pretty good. But that's the only one I've seen photographs, and that's it.
Boker and Pass?
Tarpon. Some mangrove snapper. Bunch of Spanish mackerel still moving in and out of there, mostly just on the outside of the pass towards the bell buoys. And the small sharks. A couple of black tips. One decent-sized bull that a guy got that was about 6 or 7 foot. He was pretty excited about that. And then some small undersized gag groupers starting to chew out there too. So, lots of bait.
What was that last thing you said?
Little baby gag groupers started biting again. First reports I've gotten of the babies out there in quite a while. That's always a weird one, how that goes in spurts.
Okay, Captiva.
Captiva's got some tarpon, a few more sharks, and the Spanish mackerel are doing pretty decent down there, both on the inside and through the pass to the outside. Lots of bait fish again down there. It's been pretty decent.
17th Street?
Nothing.
Middle Beach?
The snook along the beach and the small jacks and some small pompano right along the surf line there. And lizard fish and pinfish. And the one gentleman, he's probably still out there wandering around. His brother and family are in visiting. They caught a bunch of catfish down by Stump Pass, but they didn't catch much else. But they did see a couple of fish that they didn't know what they were, swimming along the shoreline.
Okay, Sanibel?
Got nothing down there.
Okay, Matt Lachey?
A lot of redfish all around through that whole area. Mostly the boat fishermen staying close to home, but they're catching redfish along the bushes and some of the little oyster bars down there. The Matt Lachey Bridge itself, been catching a few small mangrove snapper. They've been seeing some juvenile tarpon around the bridge and then catching a few small snook. And then there's also been some trout more towards the, what would that be, north of Matt Lachey, heading up towards Two Pines. A few guys been getting into some trout up that way.
Pinon Sound.
Quite a few snook down there. The snook down around the Captiva Rocks and the Shacks area. And then there's been a couple of schools of redfish down there that they've been talking about, but nobody's saying exactly where. And then I heard of some redfish and snook up there at the around the Yuseppa Docks and around Cabbage Key area. And then they're seeing a lot of tarpon, but nobody's really been catching many. The water's starting to get real tannin' down there the last few days, they said. So it's getting a little hard to do any sight cast into stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Clusanchi's running, the Peace River's running, the Mac River's running.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's usually the last place to turn tannin, but when it does, it goes quickly.
Well, it all depends on when they start letting Okeechobee go. Because they had it down so low for so long that there just wasn't water coming out. And then all of a sudden they start releasing that, and then...
That's right, I forgot they did keep it down low this year.
They went real shallow.
Yeah.
And then you got the Mac River and Peace River at the top of the harbor, and then as soon as the Clusahatchee starts flooding, well, that's right at the bottom of the harbor.
Right.
So there's literally just brown water everywhere at that point.
Yeah, I forgot that they weren't releasing it until late this year.
Well, they drained it. I mean, it was down to like, what, 8 foot or something like that? It was supposed to be 12 or 14.
Yeah.
It was really stupid. I mean, how those people stay in business in Okeechobee is just amazing to me.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
I mean, if they're going to drain the lake down that far, at least allow them to dredge through the marinas where the boats and stuff dock. At least let them take the dirt out of there so you can actually get boats in and out.
Yeah.
They literally take so much water out, the marinas are high and dry.
They're growing tomatoes in a lot of those basins. They did that several years ago where they're just, it became agricultural to them.
Just crazy. Jugger Show, Boquillas.
Boquillas got a lot of snook swimming around it. Nothing at Jug Creek Shoals but the snook. A couple of trout. And then there's been some Spanish mackerel out a little bit more towards the north end or the very outside edge of Boquillas. A lot of bait cruising through there. Mostly all small fry, but that's, I think, what's concentrating those Spanish mackerel around.
Burnt store, two planes.
Snook, redfish, and trout on the bar. All the way into the bushes. There has been some pompano and ladyfish on top of the bar, along with the occasional tarpon. One guy went down there, he leaves out a burnt store every day, dodges the rain or runs back inside real quick, but he said the manatees have been there every day up and down that shoreline, both at the below the north or above the north island and below the south island. So he's been having to be real careful of them, but he said the fishing has been pretty decent.
Okay, east side of the harbor.
He had a cool picture of Rosie at Spoonbill right there at that south island. That was awesome because it was right at daybreak. It just popped with that dark colored island right at sunrise.
It's amazing. They're so rare and so hard to find. I tried talking to bird people about them when I found them up on the river and found some of the nesting grounds and stuff on the river. I'm just going to take people up and show it to them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was up in so-and-so. They got, you know, they got some over there. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
Bird people are so weird.
They are.
You try and say, okay, here you go, out, you know, and take you out and show you some really cool spots where they're starting to come back, and I saw them once.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well, you saw it once, so that's it.
They're kind of one and done when it comes to birds on their list. It's not like they want to see multiples of it. They just want to get as many species as they can. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've noticed. They drive down and they hit the different bird spots, so they see this here and that there and this here and that there, and okay, check done, check done, check done.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to me like there's as much in it for the birds as they are to fill up their list. It's like a bragging rights thing.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this one here and that one there. Well, I saw this one here and that one there too, but I also did this.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I actually thought they were kind of like into the birds and, you know, the different habitats.
A few of them are, but not all. That's amazing. Some of them just are not. It's a check mark.
Yeah, it's all about the check mark. Mm-hmm. I was very, very surprised at their attitude.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Audubon Society, they're such a pain in the butt. The Audubon Society went from being the world's largest collector of dead birds to what a pain in the butt they are. It's a horrible group nowadays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just would have thought differently.
Yeah.
And I guess you get these ideas in your head what people are like.
Yeah, preconceived notions from history, and then it's like, it's a lot different than the reality.
Yeah, the reality is that's a weird freaking group.
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay, I caught a redfish, I'm never catching another one.
Yep. Exactly.
I don't ever want to catch another one of those. I caught that.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what it's like. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, east side.
East side's been a little quiet, but there has been some snook and some redfish reports up there, especially right above Pirate Harbor. And then Pirate Harbor has got a very good influx of little baby tarpon moving right inside there. And then I had a couple mixed reports of some trout on the bar and just on the outside edge of the bar, but only a couple, which they just all of a sudden seem to have shown up in the last 2 weeks, which is kind of a good thing considering they've been so void the last several months. Nice to get a few active reports on trout. And the topwater bite's been decent over there because a couple guys have been catching those snook and redfish on the topwaters. just kind of nice. You know, a couple guys have been buying that new, is it the Skitter V?
The Skitter V, yeah. That's such a good lure.
You showed one guy, and he must have told several guys, because I had one guy come in and buy three of them the other day. He's like, my buddy told me this is working really good on him, so he was going to go give it a shot, because he was tired of his spook. He wanted something different. But he wasn't going to give up the top water action. Something fun. That's always enjoyable. I still want to do a tarpon on a top water.
All right. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut.
Burnt Store Isles. Got some reports up in there of some snook, some black drum, and some mangrove snapper. But the actual Alligator Creek itself been pretty quiet, except for a couple jacks. And they were small jacks at that while guys were trolling on their way out. And nothing at Poacher's Cut.
Ponce de Leon.
Some black drum. A few big snook. Some mangrove snappers started to move back in there, but a couple guys caught also some sand bream there this past week. One guy had no clue what they were, but he had caught two of them right underneath the second dock that's in the canal just a little bit further.
Okay, PGI canals.
A lot of juvenile tarpon. Some really, really impressive black drum are still in there. And then plenty of catfish. A lot of guys are talking and complaining about the catfish they're catching. But, you know, it's something. The juvenile tarpon have been very cooperative for quite a few guys in there. And quite a few guys catching them trolling. You know, it seems like guys are finally starting to catch on to the trolling a little bit more this year up in those canals coming in and out.
You know, it's been growing every year. Yeah. And I think the Storm Twitch Stick was the catalyst behind a lot of that.
That's what I was going to say, because they're all buying the Twitch Stick. A couple guys are buying the X-Wrap, but most of them are buying the Twitch.
The Twitch Stick proved to be so effective trolling through the canals that they actually started seeing people catching fish, and the stupid little lure actually started working, and that led to a lot of other stuff. But right. It's just been, I don't think if we would have never found the Storm Twitch Stick, I don't think trolling would, because right now it's a big thing throughout the canals of Southwest Florida, even in the harbor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to the Twitch Stick, we had a few people doing it.
Right.
But now there's just tons of people doing it. Up in Coral Creek, those guys troll the Twitch Stick, they stop, they cast it, they troll for a while, they stop and cast it, and they're catching, you know, when the weather's a little bit cool, not so much a middle of the summer thing, but right as it starts to cool off, that guy's going up there catching 20, 30 plus snook a trip on that.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
It's awesome.
And, you know, it's a one lure revolution.
Right.
And people are using a lot of different lures now, but we've always done well with the trolling there, but it's been a little kind of cult hidden thing.
Yeah.
And now it's like, Andy, you gotta go troll and get a Twitch Stick and troll, you know? Okay.
Right. All right.
Gilchrist Pier.
I got zero there, unfortunately.
Alligator Creek Reef.
There's been a couple of small sharks there, and the tarpon have been moving across it periodically. So, other than that, it's been pretty quiet on it. The sharks have been black tips mostly, which is a little unusual, but not too shot out.
Okay. The deep holes in the harbor?
Tarpon are scattered in the holes and just on the edges of the holes. And then a few guys are still seeing a few Spanish mackerel, but most of that rain has put a kibosh to them. They're just a few oddball stragglers. And then, of course, all the sail cats you want. If sail cats are your bag, that lower center hole is definitely the way to be, or the place to be.
Yeah, the middle hole.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much full of a whole lot of sail cats and some pretty good sized ones.
All right, what do we got for freshwater? You know, we really suck at the freshwater report.
We do.
And we talk to people about bass fishing and crappie and bluegill. We talk to people about it all day long.
Right. And but none of them give me a great report. It's like I caught one here, I caught one here, I caught a couple over here, and they're just...
But I can't even remember where they tell me, because we get talking about what they're doing and how they're doing it and all that, and then they tell me a spot, and by the time I go to do the report, I can't remember because it wasn't the focus of the talk.
Right. It was a quick one word and on to the next thing. And it's the same with me. The only thing I've gotten for freshwater has been Rotunda. All the little canals back in there, which includes like that upper part of the Coral Creek area, I guess. Is that? No, that's, yeah, that's Rotunda. That's the southern kind of corner of Rotunda. And then there's also been a lot of guys fishing the Northport canals and doing very well. They've actually, I got a couple reports on bluegill this week on the Northport canals. The guys were going to look for crappie. And they said usually they do good by a couple of culvert pipes, and they ended up catching a few really nice bluegill. But the bass have been a little on the quiet side, other than over at the Webb Lakes. They've been catching a handful of bass and some of the yellow bullheads or buttercats, whichever one you want to call them. True name's a yellow bullhead. Locals call them buttercats because they do have a real nice kind of yellowish belly to them. Look kind of like a channel cat, but that marbled yellow belly kind of gives it away as being kind of its own distinct animal, and they seem to like eating those a lot more for some reason.
How do you spell Cecil?
C-E-C-I-L-L, I believe it is. Or just put Webb Lakes.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember how to spell it. Webb Lake.
Yeah, okay. See, we really do suck at that.
Yeah. All
right.
Hey, at least we're consistent.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do red dots.
Red dots. The outer edges of the 20-foot holes. The mouth of the Mayaca. And Boca Grande. Those have all been pretty consistent.
All right. Yellow dots?
The outside edge of the west wall. From the mouth of the Mayaca up to El Jobin. Marker two over to the beach complex. And then the, the next dot's going to be better for that spot. That's it.
Okay, the white dots, chance of?
Captiva Pass, and right there along the ICW up to USEPA. And then the Whidden Bay area over to Placida. And then the 41 Bridge and 75 Bridge.
Anything done by Sanibel anywhere?
No, I didn't get any reports this week from
down in there.
Nothing.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because it's been too milky, too stormy, but I got nothing from any of those locations this week. Which is always a bummer.
Yeah. Anything you want to say about tarpon while we're...
Bait busters is definitely the way to go. Colors are all over the map right now. A few guys are catching them on ladyfish. A couple guys are going down in Sabikian and catching some threadfins and doing pretty okay with them. But if you move way up into the upper harbor with those threadfins, they're rolling over pretty quick in the live well. But ladyfish definitely be a good way to go for an alternative. Just try to grow along the bars and just on the edges of the bars, and I would troll one of those, what is it, the hot skirts, the VMC hot skirt.
Yeah, the hot skirts is the ladyfish jig.
Yeah, that's definitely by far the best ladyfish catcher. And then if if you want to cast something, I like throwing the banana jigs, the pompano jigs. Those are pretty darn good for them too. But that's about your best bet. But the bait busters are working so incredibly well. And you know what's so awesome is how many people this year finally caught on to the bobber thing. I know it's been growing each year a little bit more and more, but this year, holy mackerel.
It's hard for people to give up the idea that them holding the rod is not a good thing.
Yeah. But with the bait buster or the swim bait underneath it, that's the part that's catching
on.
That's
what I'm saying.
Sick.
And they can't figure out that why is it that me holding the rod is going to catch less fish, and then if I use a lure under a bobber, I'm going to catch more fish.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This...
It doesn't make sense.
No, nothing about it makes sense, and it's making people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is, you know, the kind of the time when they're just going, okay, it doesn't have to make sense, it just has to work.
Exactly.
And it's one of those things, is.
Yeah.
It's not is ain't, it's okay, if you want to catch tarpon, you're spending all this time and effort and everything else, put this stupid-looking fake lure 5-6 feet, put a bobber up there.
Yep.
And then sit the rod in the rod holder.
Yeah. Carl had a guy, he ran out of thread fins. They were having a hard time keeping fish on, which I thought was pretty brilliant, because he said they kept letting slack in the line, so as soon as a fish hit, he finally started putting the trolling motor in reverse and just letting them fight tight, just to keep it tight the whole time. And they finally got a couple. But they ran out of thread fins, so he's putting them, bless you, under a bobber out the back of the boat, and the guy was laughing at him and started giving him a really hard time. You're not going to catch anything with that. And Carl's like, just wait. They're starting to chew now, so just this will work. And they ended up catching a catfish. And so Carl and the guy started really bragging on or ripping on Carl.
Right.
And Carl's sitting there, just starts to flip that sail cat off the bait buster. And then the other rod just starts bowing over and screaming, and Carl goes, well, that might be a world record sail cat, or, oh, no, wait a minute, look, it's a tarpon jumping. You might want to take that rod. And the guy's like,
that's a very silver catfish.
I stand corrected, you know,
a 6-foot silver catfish.
He said the guy immediately just got quiet and got excited about catching the fish and forgot about everything else he was saying. I'm like, that's funny.
That is funny.
Good stuff.
Alright. Anything else?
That's about it that I can think of.
Okay. So, pretty soon we'll have a new board hooked up in here, and we'll be able to do actual recordings that I'm not taking from an old system and redoing it. I can actually have a modern USB system in here. So,
getting fancier and fancier.
Yeah, I think it's more like getting my butt kicked by all this old equipment. I'm just tired of repairing it all.
Right.
So,
too many things to trace out and go, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm in the... we have a recording studio where a lot of these shows are recorded, and I've been in there taking every wire out and replacing every stupid wire and rerunning and rerouting, and oh, God, I'm so tired of wiring.
Right.
But other than that, everything's going really good.
Yeah, the weather hasn't been the most cooperative, but fishing has been decent if you're willing to get a little damp or dodge storms.
Yeah, it's every year we've run up against that. We had Hurricane Irma that kind of trashed the business a little bit. We had the red tide blue-green algae scare that, you know, kind of trashed the business a little bit. And this year we've had 3 weeks of rain.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely in Portland right now.
Yeah, I mean, where are we that this is going on? I don't get it. But, you know, what are we going to do?
Make the best of what we can.
And the good thing is you get to go home early today.
It's not a bad thing.
No.
So, it's all good.
Yeah. We'll let you listen to an old song that I like, a little bit of it. And meantime, from Frank and Robert, thanks for listening, boys and girls. We'll see you on the next Fishing Report. And it cut out?